Following audio is from the First Baptist Church of Salisbury. The purpose of the Salisbury First Baptist family is to intimately know Christ and increasingly make Him known through authentic worship, intentional nurture, spirited fellowship, and compassionate witness in our community and around the world. More information about First Baptist Church is available at www.fbcsalisbury.org.
Good morning. We are Susan and Patrick King, and we're here today representing the largest unreached people group in the United States, the special needs community. According to published statistics, there are 65 million people in the U.S. with special needs, but only 5 to 10% of them have been reached for Christ. That means there are 59 to 62 million people with special needs in our country who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And truly, the numbers are larger than that, because if special needs children and youths cannot come to church and participate in the body of Christ, then their parents won't usually come either. Yet according to the International Disability Institute, less than 10% of evangelical churches in America have a disability-friendly environment. That means more than 90% don't. I'm so thankful to be part of a church that's in the less than 10%. I look around and I see ramps, lifts, elevators, and specially designed bathrooms. I see smiles and kindnesses and open doors. I see an access ministry with devoted volunteers. I see lives reached for Christ. I see visible actions to welcome those in need. But I want to move beyond the numbers here. I want to talk about real people with real problems, with real souls to be saved. I want to talk about our experience. My husband David and I and our four children first visited First Baptist Church of Salisbury in 1996, and we were broken. We had four beautiful children in tow with us, three daughters and a son, but something wasn't quite right with our youngest, our son Patrick, and we didn't know what to do. Actually, soon after Patrick was born, we noticed something wasn't quite right. He cried a lot. He couldn't stand to be touched, arching his back in pain like he was being electrocuted or something. By the time he was 3 years old and we came to this church, he still wasn't talking. He never looked people in the eyes and often shook things in front of his face for long periods of time. If people came into his space unexpectedly, he would hit, bite, or spit in an effort to make the painful stimulus go away. He would bang his head on the floor if he got really overstimulated. He threw tantrums if we varied from very strict routines, and he often seemed distant and detached from the world. In addition, Patrick struggled doing the simplest tasks due to severe coordination issues. We went through years of testing with lots of different specialists, and finally, when he was about 5 years old, we were told he had autism. We also were told he was mentally retarded and might never speak. Personally, at that point, I was devastated. After we were told Patrick had autism, I walked numbly to our car with my husband, and then I just burst into tears. Things had turned out very differently than we had imagined. The theme for today's service is Heart of Worship. The Bible tells us a little something about worship in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." In other words, what is at the real heart of worship is presenting everything we are to be used for God's glory, to use the life in the bodies He has given us to be His hands, feet, and heart on earth. And one way we can do that is to have special hearts for special needs. Since there are so many people with disabilities all around us, people who need to know Jesus, Patrick and I want to encourage you today to use the life God has given you in his body, the church, to do three things. Embrace those with special needs, encourage those with special needs, and help those with special needs envision God's plan for their lives. First, we all have a special calling to embrace those with special needs, to welcome the broken and the hurting to our table at church. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, there's the story of how King David invited Mephibosheth to come eat at his table. Mephibosheth was crippled in both of his feet, and he couldn't believe how the king was embracing him and welcoming him into fellowship. He even said in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" That's how he thought of himself. But truly, that's not how the Lord thinks about us. Each one of us is a special creation of his. He tells us we are his workmanship in Ephesians 2:10, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139, verse 14, and that his grace in Jesus Christ has opened a place for us at his table. That's in Ephesians 1:6. Think about all the stories in the Bible. Jesus welcomed everyone who came to him with open arms. He even told a parable in Luke 14 where the master said to the servant, "Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame." He was inviting the broken and the needy to his table, just like Jesus does. Because the truth is, everyone needs Jesus. And we need to open our doors wide to everyone to invite them to the table. All of us are broken in some way. Those with special needs just display their brokenness more openly. They need to know that they are welcome and accepted by us, because then they can believe they are welcome and accepted by Jesus. And let me tell you a secret. Not only do special needs individuals need us, but we need them. Amen. God says so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 to 22, he says, "But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary." Did you hear that? Necessary. We need them. God ordained for them to fulfill a vital role in the church. When special needs individuals are not part of the body, then the body is missing something crucial and vital to its well-being. I know from watching my son Patrick's involvement with our church that he has given our church members the opportunity to choose love and grace over anger and judgment, to seek to understand, to communicate acceptance, to forgive, and to encourage. I believe he inspires those around him to be better people. I feel like he has helped to make the culture of our church even more compassionate, more aware, and more loving. I've seen it happen before my own eyes. And I have seen the other special needs individuals in our church have the same transformative power. And they bless us. I know that I have been personally blessed by Patrick's faith, by Maggie's joy, by Mike's courage, and by Jermaine's gratitude, and so on and so on and so on.
I won't lie, it's hard having autism. Often I feel different from everyone else, but I've never felt like people were judging me here. Brian Farmer always made me feel like I was part of the youth group here. Whenever I come to church, I'm welcomed by somebody, and they ask me how my life is going. Here, I feel like people really care about me. And I feel like here at this church, I'm part of a spiritual family that encourages one another, prays for one another, and comes together for one another. And because all of you have loved and accepted me, I came to believe that Jesus did too. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that changed my life, because now I know I don't go through my challenges alone. And I know that He is always with me. And I want to say something to everyone here with a disability or special needs. And I want to say something to their families as well, that you are all welcome here. That God made you, and your challenges do not catch Him by surprise. God never says, "Oh, really? I didn't know that." He knows you intimately, and He loves you just the way you are. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:6 that you are accepted in the Beloved. And that means that God welcomes you with open arms. And His people here in this church feel the same way He does, because they are His family. And God wants you to find compassion and hope here. And He will use His people in this church to help you find them. Keep showing up and let God love you here. This is the place you can come to love and accept the person God made you to be. The world might look at you and say you're handicapped, but here you can learn, like I did, that the only way you'd be handicapped is if you didn't know Jesus. Stay with us here. You are welcome at the table.
Another way we can worship God in our hearts is by encouraging those with special needs and their families. I will never forget a pivotal Wednesday night here at our church. I had put Patrick in childcare while I went to Living Christmas Tree rehearsal. While I was walking down the hallway to pick up Patrick afterwards, I was intercepted by three small children running at full speed and broadcasting to anyone in earshot that Patrick bit Amy. A sick feeling filled my entire body. Because, you see, we had been in situations before where we were told we were not welcome in a church setting because of Patrick's behaviors. I wondered about Amy, too, and I felt terrible for her. I tried to comfort Amy, and I talked with and apologized to her mom, Elaine. And then I gathered up Patrick and made a quick retreat to our van. 3 days later, a card came in the mail. It had Elaine's name in the return address section. I was so nervous to open it. Here's what it said. "Dear Susan, I want to thank you for the way you comforted my daughter the other night at church. It especially means a lot to me because I know how much you've been hurting about your son. I just want to tell you, I think you are a wonderful mother. And I think you're doing a great job with Patrick. Love, Elaine." I cried. But I was crying for a different reason this time. I later wrote this about that experience. "I expected criticism, and I received love and encouragement. I expected resentment, and I found worth. It was God's grace in its purest form, because it required sacrifice. Elaine had put her feelings and needs aside and had embraced my world and my experiences. I have never forgotten her kindness, and I have kept her letter all these years. It was a love letter from the Lord, sent by one of His faithful servants. It changed my life and gave me hope to keep going. When we were talking about this later, my husband David said, "Do you realize what a pivotal moment that was for us? If we had received a different reaction, we probably would have left the church." And he was right. We were so broken and hurting. Instead, we stayed. We were encouraged. And in the end, all six members of my family came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All this happened at this church. That's what encouragement can do. I think church is a place of beautifully broken people who are growing in their love of Jesus and one another. And one way we do that is by choosing to extend grace and encouragement instead of criticism. We're told in the Old Testament that Jonathan was such a good friend to David because he encouraged him in the Lord. That's 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. And in the New Testament, we're told to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. That's Hebrews 3:13. In fact, there's a beautiful story of a paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2, where his friends lifted him on a pallet, took out part of a roof, and lowered him straight to Jesus. That's what encouragement can do. It takes us straight to the heart of Jesus, where we rediscover how much we are loved, valued, and accepted. Then we can get up and walk. I'm just going to be brutally honest with you. Sometimes it's hard living in the world of autism. Oh yes, God is good, and he is so faithful, and he reveals beautiful things about himself in that world. But it's still hard. Yet time after time, he uses all of you to encourage Patrick and our family to keep going, to keep running our race. You are Jesus to us, and we love him more and more because we see and experience him in you. And we continue to need your encouragement because it seems the Lord is keeping us in the land of autism. Our 3-year-old grandson Landon was recently diagnosed. And our daughter Katie and her husband Kurt have given us permission to share that with you. Katie said, "We don't want to hide, and we need their prayers." I know you'll pray, and I thank you for that. It was hard to hear that news. But we've learned a little something along the way, and here it is. God is faithful. He is loving, and he is good. Every child he creates is beautiful in his eyes, and he wants to use each one to display his glory. We trust him with our Landon.
All of you have encouraged me so much, and I know you've been praying for me over the years. You've encouraged my family as well. And I'm thankful that the people of the church have been a family to my family, because I know I was not the only one that needed encouragement. The people in my mom's Sunday school especially have been extremely kind to our family, and they talk to me and encourage me and pray for me as well. And to be honest, words can't describe how much that means to me. I had a rough time in college trying to find my first job. It took me 2 years, and during that time, I got really depressed. And Rod Kerr met with me and gave me great advice, and several of you sent me notes of encouragement as well. Mary and Cody sent me lots of encouraging text messages, and when I finally got my job, Kenneth took me out for ice cream. Knowing I had a lot of support helped me to get through that very difficult time in my life and helped me to continue to trust God. I use my Facebook page for prayer requests sometimes, and many of you respond with encouraging words, and you even send text messages. And having so many people from church praying for me and encouraging me has basically changed my life. And I've had moments where I've needed help outside of my family, and people from this church have helped me. Lots of you encourage me with the Word of God, which is so powerful to me. Even so, like, I have found that even after watching and listening to different motivational speakers and people I just look up to who are very successful in their lives, that their advice doesn't help me nearly as much as godly advice. Thank you for walking with me and encouraging me in life. And church members, you can make a difference. Never underestimate the value of a smile, a note, a hug, a pat on the back, a handshake, a text, Facebook comment, a moment to talk, opening a door for someone, or even just a simple trip for ice cream. Those moments matter, and they can be pivotal moments. And I'd like to challenge you to get to know the names of those among us who have special needs and their families. Look them in the eyes, use their names, encourage them with a gift of a moment of your time and attention. You are being Jesus to them when you do. I would also like to thank all the volunteers in the Access Ministry and every person in the congregation who is a teacher, specialist, and caregiver for special needs individuals. Your labor in the Lord does not go unnoticed, and it is not in vain. It is producing a harvest for the kingdom of God.
And finally, we can have a heart of worship by helping special needs individuals and families to envision the beautiful plans God has for their lives. The greatest plan we can share with them is the plan of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. As we embrace and encourage them, then their hearts become more receptive to the gospel message. That's what happened to us. And then we can help them discover the plan, place, and purpose God has for them in his church and in the world. A few years ago, Patrick and I wrote and released a book called Optimism for Autism, and it has opened up a speaking ministry for us where we can proclaim the love, grace, and hope found in Jesus. I tell folks the Lord is the main character in our book. We also helped found an autism support group in town, and the Lord continually brings people affected by autism into our lives. They listen to us about the hope found in the Lord because we live in the same world as they do. The Lord prepared us for that ministry here in this church, and it is here where he sustains us to fulfill it.
Through this church, I've come to know the greatest plan God has had for my life, and that I would come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. How did that happen? Because I have seen what God has done with people like you who have a great relationship with him. Through God, I know that I'm loved. He loves me for who I am, because I'm his. And that holds true for all of us. He loves us so much that he gave his one and only Son so that we could be saved. And that's how much he loves us. I have learned this and more, not just from the sermons, but from all of you, my spiritual family. I've also learned God had a place where I could serve him at church. I remember when I first told Russ I wanted to sing at church, and he let me do it. I was in sixth grade, and my middle school chorus teacher encouraged me to ask to sing at church. And I've discovered that I love to sing, and I feel closer to God when I do. It's wonderful to have a place where I can serve at church. And I'm grateful to God, and serving here at church gives me a way to thank and praise Him. I've also learned that God had a place where I could serve Him out in the world. I'm amazed that God has opened doors for me to speak about what He has done and to encourage others affected by autism or other struggles. I write Jeremiah 29:11 on every book of ours that people ask for me to sign. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." And that's what I've learned here at this church. And that's what I want to tell others as well. And those of you with disabilities and special needs, God has a special purpose in your life. You are not an accident. You have worth. And God is not a distant God. He sees you in your wheelchair. He sees you in your struggles. And He has a great plan for your life. Parents, caregivers, and those affected by special needs, God knows you are stronger than you think. He is using you in your situation. He knows what He is doing, and He will give you everything you need. He is with you and those you love, and He will accomplish everything that concerns you. Don't ever underestimate the impact that you are having on our lives. God is using you for His glory.
Thank you for having special hearts for special needs. Thank you for helping my family and so many others in this church by embracing us, encouraging us, and helping us envision God's plan in the midst of our challenges. Now, my husband David and Patrick are going to sing a song for you. It's called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. David wrote this song, and it's a testimony to God's faithfulness and God's fingerprints on every human life. It's a song of submission and choosing to believe God's words and promises in times of despair. It's a song from a heart of worship.
I can see His hands and there His feet. Is that His heart? Look at it beat. Lord, You made my son, knew him before birth. You love him so, I'll take care of him on earth. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And no matter what the world may see, your God loves you for eternity. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. A child is born, seeks its place on earth. Sometimes it's hard to see what I'm worth. I humbly ask You, Lord, let them see what You see. I'm a child of God, that's all You ask of me. fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter what the world may see, your God loves you for eternity. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. We choose to trust this Father and Son. You'll lead us through till our time is done. We will praise you, Lord, until we see your face and live each day in your power and grace. We will help each other to glorify you. We will celebrate your promise to carry us through. You're the giver of life and the King of all kings. We will trust you, Lord, in everything. We will help each other to glorify you. We will celebrate your promise to carry us through. You're the giver of life and the King of all kings. We will trust you, Lord, in everything. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter what the world may see, your God loves you for eternity. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Listening to audio from First Baptist Church of Salisbury. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.fbcsalisbury.org.